Football fans had to wait 40 years for it to happen, but finally, the Super Bowl bears a pair of Roman numerals befitting the game, XL. 2 weeks of extra-large hype and attention finally end with Sunday's contest between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks at Ford Field in Detroit. And joining us, as he does most Fridays, is Wall Street Journal sports writer Stefan Fatsis. Welcome back, Stefan.
Hey, Robert.
And let's lead with a lead here. The Rolling Stones are performing at halftime?
Yes, they are. Well, this is the year that the baby boomers are starting to turn 60, and that's the average age of the Stones. So the NFL is really hitting a key demographic, but it's a real testament to the league's ability to get these huge names to perform at the Super Bowl, and they don't pay them anything for it, they say. And thank God for the Stones. Mick Jagger was great this week. He added a rare dose of levity to pre-Super Bowl talk when he said that the image-conscious NFL was worried about how many times he'd utter an expletive on TV. He also joked about the infamous Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction from a couple of years ago. He said there were concerns that Aretha Franklin might strip while singing the national anthem.
Well, preceding the Stones' performance and then following it will be two halves of football, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks, pretty much opposites in terms of history and reputation.
Yeah, the Steelers joined the NFL in 1933. Art Rooney paid $2,500 for them, and the family has owned the team ever since, and it's always been their primary business. They've won four Super Bowls, all within 6 years in the 1970s. They've got 16 players in the Hall of Fame. They've got that great logo only on one side of their helmet. The Seahawks, by contrast, they were an expansion team in 1976, and they were purchased in 1997 for $194 million by Microsoft's co-founder Paul Allen. They've never been in a Super Bowl. They've only got one guy in the Hall of Fame. And what this franchise really has been known for is mediocrity. They've defined this era of parity in the NFL. In 15 of 22 seasons between 1983 and 2004, they were never more than a game above or below 500.
So how have the Seahawks managed to get so much better that they're in the Super Bowl?
Well, they've done it the way that a lot of pro sports teams have done it lately. Before he agreed to buy the team, Paul Allen secured the promise of a mostly publicly financed stadium. And the new stadium really helped alter the image of the team. It brought fans back in and made them interested in this club. He also hired a Super Bowl-winning coach, Mike Holmgren, who did it with the Green Bay Packers. And the final step was when he overhauled the front office last year. On the field, the Seahawks' formula has not been unlike that of the New England Patriots, who have had so much success. Get a lot of very good, but not too many overpriced marquee players.
Are they good enough to win?
Well, they're underdogs in this game, even though they've won 15 out of 18 games so far. The Steelers, by contrast, were the sixth and last seed in the American Conference and then went on to beat the top three teams on the way to the Super Bowl. Seattle has the statistically superior offense. Pittsburgh's got the statistically superior defense. I'm not going to pick it, but I did see a computer simulation, and computer simulation works, of course, great in games like chess and Scrabble, and the simulation said that Seattle will win by 0.6 of a point.
Somehow that seems an unlikely outcome, though.
But wouldn't it be great if it could happen?
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Robert.
Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal, who talks with us on Fridays about sports and the business of sports.